Welcome to Season 4 of Soccer Over Gotham, an NWSL podcast covering New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC, hosted by Ruby Pinto and produced by Gary Gibson. Welcome to Episode 95 of Soccer Over Gotham. This is the Challenge Cup edition. We have a great show for all of you. Gary, what do we have in this episode?
We got a whole bunch. For the first time since early October of last year, Gotham loses a match in front of the second largest crowd in team history. We got back-to-back podcast news as we are adding to our team again. Stick around. The Gotham national team wins the Gold Cup and gets grouped for the Olympics. We will talk about that. We will have results from the first fan poll of the season. You know I love fan polls. It is very interesting, so we'll talk about that. Team news, Gotham gets to take part in a summer tournament, a Liga MX versus the NWSL. We got the details. Gotham has a good performance and gets undone by Gotham villain Alex Morgan. We will break down this 1-0 result as only we can. Then we are heading to Portland. We will preview next week's matchup against a defense that just gave up 5 goals. So get excited, folks. No guests this week. We got the entire team here. Ruby and Noel is with me. How are you all?
Great. So let me tell you, I just watched the Shakira interview that came out today and I cannot wait for her tour to start so bad. She says she's coming out with everything. So I'm just waiting for her. On the other side, also feeling good because the NWSL, it's back and it not disappoint. I heard there was a lot of goals. So that's awesome to see the excitement, how they came back, and everyone's watching. I feel like everyone's watching. But how are you guys? Noella?
Doing good. On a personal, I got caught up in the rain earlier today.
Oh, gosh,
yeah. I'm happy to just be indoors, nice and warm now. I just showered and everything. So I agree with you. I'm so excited for the league. I'm excited also for the new expansion teams. You know, Bay FC had a crazy good game this past weekend, and just excited to see Gotham's first official opener as well. We're going to dig into later.
Yeah, and Utah selling out, which was awesome to see. Good for them. So I just want to give a shout out to fan of the show, Rob, who recognized me. So I got recognized for the third time at Red Bull Arena. I happen to be wearing that big placard that had my big thumb face on it. But yes, it's hard to hide when you have that thing on. But I am reading a manga series. I made a deal. I told you about last week about I was going to read this month. So yeah. I made a deal with my little. I said, I'll read any book you want me to read, and you read any book that I want you to read. So he gave me a manga book. I gave him this little fantasy series I want to start together. So more than likely, I'm going to read that his book. He's not going to read mine. But that is what it is. You know.
Which one is it by any chance?
It is My Hero Academia Vigilantes.
Oh, okay. Classic. Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask because a lot of them get converted to the anime. So yeah, I've seen a couple episodes. Nice. You're going to enjoy it, I think.
Yeah, I'll enjoy it. Let's get to some of the show. First, we'll start off with some Cloud9 news. Now, the question is, to light show or not to light show? That seems to be the question we're having here. So please reach out to your local supporter group, Cloud9, and it's at Cloud9Goth everywhere. If you've been affected by the new light show at the stadium, I'm curious about the rest of you guys. Are you fans of this light show or not?
I do not mind the light show. I kind of like the light show, but I understand, you know, if it's affecting people, I can go without the light show. So light show is not important. But again, as long as everyone feels comfortable in Red Bull Arena with or without it, no either way for me. So what about you, Noella?
I'm definitely on the same page. I think there's to celebrate certain goals, sometimes you can do different things. I know some teams do like the firecrackers and stuff, or in the MLS they have some cool
the smoke, the music.
Yeah. There are different options. So if a lot of people are being affected, then it doesn't make sense to keep it then, I think.
It doesn't affect me at all. I didn't even notice it, but players have complained about it, and a lot of fans seem to have complained about it. So really, it doesn't do anything for me, so I should just get rid of them. Whatever, the fire's good enough. Let's just do that. All right, let's talk about some podcast updates. We reached 17,000 downloads. Ooh. 6 of our last 7 episodes are in our top 10 of downloads. And Neely is not only our top downloaded player interview, but that is now our top downloaded show. So I'm proud of that. A lot of good things happening with the show. Yeah. Just excited.
Yeah, that's crazy. And we all know, well, we know because we're always looking, that Becky Tweed's episode was number one for a while. So
almost 2 years.
She was the queen of that number one spot. So she just got dethroned by Neely Martin.
Yeah, when that episode came out, it was two years ago, and it did like more than three times what we like normally do. That's because like Ashlyn, Allie, and Christy came to the team. There's like a lot of buzz at that time. And so it kind of did numbers. And for the past like 2 seasons, we've been slowly gaining. And now we've beaten it 3 times, and 3 out of our last 4 episodes have beaten it. So very happy about that. So consistency is everything when it comes to podcasting. You just got to keep building a fan base a little bit at a time. And over time, it snowballs, and we're in a good place right now.
Yeah, we're leveling up. And yeah.
And I mean, you could say it was because of Neely Martin being on the program because she's such a good guest, but it's just because we brought back Noella to the program and everybody was so excited.
Exactly.
That they downloaded it, listened to it on different platforms all over the world.
We're a super team as well, remember?
It's true.
You're right. You're
exactly.
Right. But it's definitely on like the consistency, I would say. Like you guys are.
Yeah, that's definitely
most
true.
Consistent. You've been almost at 100.
I know. Getting close. We're planning our big 100 show. We're starting. Other big news about the podcast is that we're growing and we are adding to the team. We are adding an official stat partner. Our friends at NWSL Field Division have been a friend of ours for a long time since we started this program. And they're going to be providing us advanced stats for the show and running much of our world famous post-game stats thread on Twitter. Adam was a guest of ours back in like season 1, and I'm just thankful for him. And he's been awesome and just want to celebrate him as well.
Yeah, that is so awesome. And thanks to Adam for joining the team and bringing stats to the fans and share it all the Gotham fans. Let me tell you, sometimes it's kind of difficult to find stats on these games. For example, when I went to look for stats for the Gotham game against the Wave, there were some stats, but not as many as I would like to see.
And I've always maintained that this is a community project, so I'm willing to look at all partnerships that elevate what we do, make our job a little bit easier, and bring better content for the fans. It's a win-win for everybody. Again, I'm excited about that. But let's stop talking about us. Let's talk about the Gotham National Team. Quick shout out to the Gotham National Team for winning their first Women's Gold Cup tournament. Congrats to them.
Just in general, I think it's great experience for them to have that national team like performances locked in. I think there's always like such a big difference from like playing with the league and then playing against like clubs, and then when you jump up to like the national team program and those expectations are on you, there's like more of a mental aspect, I think, also where you grow confidence and like you become like it, you really like ride, I'm assuming, that wave into the like to the season.
I know they won, but I still think there's a lot of work to do, and Emma Hayes has her work cut out for her with this team. I watched the last game. There was a very big lack of cohesion and just players playing for each other. I know it's like fundamental stuff, but it seemed like Rose was on an island a lot of the time. And there was one situation, I saw it on somebody's YouTube or Twitter, that it showed Rose was dancing on the sideline with the ball. And then there's Morgan and Horan, then they're like backing away into the 18 instead of checking back to her. And just like simple little things of playing for each other, and the cohesion is not there. So I hope they iron that out. And obviously, hopefully, Kat Macario is ready for the Olympics. Speaking of the Olympics, the tournament groups got announced today, and the U.S. Women's National Team will play out of Group B in the Olympics and face either Zambia or Morocco in its first match. And the other teams in the group are Germany and Australia. Group B will play in Nice and Marseille in Paris 2024. First game kicking off on July 25th.
I think this is going to actually be a difficult group for the U.S. I think just in general, Germany, of course, is going to be going in with like an extra edge, I think, of, you know, having not really like done as much as I'm sure they assumed to do in the World Cup, got knocked out pretty early on. And obviously, like even just recently in the Euros, like they had a really strong showing. So for me, I think that matchup is going to be really, really interesting to see the U.S. face Germany and like you said, Gary, like really see if they can put together a strong, cohesive performance for 90 minutes. And Australia, of course, unsure about Sam Kerr, what her timeline might look like. But that's the Matildas, they've been doing amazing. They've worked extremely hard, also had a strong World Cup showing. So I'm sure they're going to go in also with like a chip on their shoulder and want to really compete and make it out to the next round. So I think this is going to be very interesting for the U.S.
Yeah, there's great competition there. And I think this is what the U.S. needs to face, someone that will challenge them. We keep saying that the game has grown and everyone's catching up, which is true because the investments coming into women's soccer has been different than years ago. So we see the difference now. I mean, just in the Gold Cup right now, the U.S. lost against Mexico. They lost that 16 win streak that they had against Mexico, which is really crazy. So I think this is the challenge that they need. Hopefully they can get it together by the time of the Olympics. But yeah, they have high expectations, and they know that they have to come out with gold just to show what they're made of.
Yeah, they better bring all the Gotham players. I'm excited, but I'm nervous about it. I think this is a decent group to be in. I think they can get out of it, but nothing's a gimme anymore. And again, mm-hmm. if they don't start playing a little bit better as a unit, they might not make it out of the group. But I hope they do. And I hope every Gotham player, again, makes it to the squad. But enough about the national team. Let's talk about Gotham FC fans. We have our first fan poll of the season. Who will lead Gotham FC in scoring at the end of the regular season? Because nobody has ever led a Lynn Williams team in scoring besides Lynn Williams. So the question was either Esther or Williams, because I think Esther has got to be close to be able to do that. So I'm curious what you all thought, because Lynn Williams went away with it with 62%.
I know. Everyone wants Williams to, or thinks Williams will do it. But for me, I think it's Esther Gonzalez that's going to come out like and getting the most goals for Gotham. Why? I just see something different in her. She has that hunger when you see her on the field, and she'll try anything. She even tried a bicycle kick. So I think we'll be Esther.
So I was also thinking Esther, but even just seeing like, and we're going to get into it later, I'm sure, with their game versus San Diego, but I really, really enjoyed that combination of Midge and Esther on the left side. So for me, I'm like, if it's someone that's not Lynn and it's not Esther, I feel like Midge Purse is going to come in this season and really like be more dominant and have like, when you have so many creative players around the ball, like on the ball and she's like such a smart player as well, where she loves taking down that left flank and cutting in and working with these players. I think she can have like a really, really strong performance this season.
Yeah. I say bet on Lynn until proven otherwise, I guess. There's never been a player like Lynn Williams ever. I think in the history of soccer, if you look at her stats, she leads all forwards in defensive actions. And if you compare her against midfielders, yeah, she's in the 95% percentile of midfielders in defensive actions. And against defenders, she's still like an 85 to 90% of all the defenders in defensive actions. And she's never not led her team in scoring, which is how's that even possible? But, you know, we get to watch her every week. But I agree with you both. If it's anybody can do this, it's going to be Esther. And if Midge sets up like she has with the national team, and then towards the end of last season, where she's just coming in from the wide areas and just trying to find the runners coming in, once she gets used to what Esther wants to do, I think it could be really, really good. Other for our commentators for the thread said Midge, and I think we agree Midge would be the third choice mm-hmm. for that as well. And someone chose Jenna, and I thought that was interesting. Because Jenna is probably still the penalty taker, probably.
Yeah.
And we know she can bang a ball in or two from outside. And I think if she gets more and more confident and she gets a little more playing time, there's a possibility. Dark horse, but possibility. So what do we think?
I'm going to stick with Midge.
Okay.
One Esther, one Midge. And I'm just going to go with a boxing analogy. I don't know anything about boxing, but I look at like some of their records, and it's like you will see some boxer was like 202 in like two, right? So I'm like, if I bet on this boxer 204 times, I would have lost twice. So I think that's what you do with Lynn. Lynn's always done it. So just, I would never lose if I bet on Lynn. So I'm going to keep doing that. So we got 1-1-1. However, let's get over to some summer tournament news, which is awesome. Liga MX Femenil versus the NWSL. The tournament will feature 14 NWSL clubs and the top six teams from the Liga MX and the Aperture 2023 seasons. It starts July 19th. There'll be 33 matches, 30 group stage games, 4-team semifinal early August. The championship match will be on the weekend of October 25th to the 27th, which is funny because they say it's a summer tournament.
Right. And
there's 5 groups. Gotham is in Group D. Group A is a pretty strong group. It's got Portland, Seattle, Utah, and Club Tijuana. Group B is, we'll see who thinks the group is that, but I think it might be this one. Angel City, San Diego, Bay FC, and Club America. That's a tough, tough group.
Yeah.
Group C, we got Kansas City, Houston Dash, Tigres, and Club Pachuca. And then Group D, which has Gotham, Washington Spirit, Chicago Red Stars, and Chivas. And Group E is Pride, The Courage, Racing Louisville, and Rayadas. So your initial thoughts on this new tournament?
First of all, that's going to be a lot of games in 1 year for for these players. So hopefully there is a way to like keep them healthy, make sure, you know, they're okay for this tournament. That, I mean, 33 matches is a lot if they make it to the end. Also, NWSL, they have 20 plus games as well. So that's a lot of games. So as long as they stay healthy. But I also think this is really, really, really huge for women's soccer in North America. I mean, two of the best leagues are coming together, and I think this is going to be interesting because the American players or the NWSL will have the chance to see how Liga MX Femenil plays and their style of play and vice versa. So I think that's going to be really interesting, especially around the time if this keeps going, this Summer Cup keeps going, 2024, 25, 26, 27, by the World Cup, it will be really interesting to see how this affects the next World Cup as well.
I definitely agree. I think it's on the one side, I'm concerned that these players might not be able to get enough of the rest as maybe they should have right before like the season starts, because obviously normally with most like football leagues, like you will have the summer off or you'll have like a set at least a couple of weeks that you will have off, and 33 matches seemed like a lot. But I do agree with you, Ruby, that in terms of even just like having more of a outside, like, because each country, each league has like a different style of play, and so even when we saw Mexico really like outplay in some ways the U.S. you know, you have players like Delgado and Luna who are playing in Liga MX, and it's, you can see the difference. So it's, I think it will be like good exposure and good football overall. I'm sure it's going to be a really, really heck of a tournament. Just definitely concerned.
Yeah, both sides have really talented players, so that's why it's going to be so interesting to see how they play against each other.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all of that. This is, I guess it's the replacement for the Challenge Cup, but we were talking about like how relieving it was for the players not to have that Challenge Cup and not have those extra games. And now they're going to have to play all those extra games and the Olympics and all this. So I think one of the post-game quotes we're going to talk about later definitely fits what we're going to be talking about here. I think that teams should be afforded a 30-person roster, or at least a larger roster than 26. Yeah. It's you're going to ask more from the players. You're going to have to give them more opportunities to play and more deeper rosters. MLS has around 30 players per roster, and they play tournaments like this all year round. So they need more. 26 is just simply not enough. And national team replacement players are going to be very hard to come by once USL Super League kicks up and starts picking up all those players for their league. So I think they should definitely build up those rosters.
I will say, though, that Juan Carlos Amoros has like all of last season, I was really impressed with his like rotation and the way in which he felt comfortable moving players and not relying so much on one set lineup. I know some people have like certain concerns about like, oh, if you don't have a consistent lineup, then like they can't like mesh and have that chemistry. But on the other hand, it's like you are giving these players the rest that they do need, or like you're giving them the right amount of exposure and team experience, I think. So if anyone can work through this like limited roster and be playing all these tournaments, I think Amoros is definitely the guy to do the job.
Yeah, I really like that he does that, because as we know in previous years with Gotham, the rookies didn't get zero to little time on the field. And we saw the opposite this last year. I mean, we only had one draft player, but it's not like she was sitting all the time. Look where she's at now. This is Jenna Neiswanger. Now she's in the national team. Why? Because she got the opportunity to play and get those minutes under Juan Carlos Amoros.
Oh, imagine Freya keeping Jenna Neiswanger on the bench all season.
That would have been a crime.
Oh, gosh. But I think, Noelle, I think you're totally right on that. I think Gotham of all teams is going to be the one with the biggest, best roster depth. And I think they're built for these kind of tournaments. But I'm just thinking, like, in general, across the entire league, some of these teams just aren't built for this kind of workload. Speaking of workload, let's get over to this game, shall we?
Let's go.
It is 2024 season. It is upon us. The Challenge Cup of 2024. Gotham looking for their third trophy in four games for a team that has gone a long time without winning anything. That's a very fun thing to say. So listen, Gotham won the championship last year and they did not rest on their laurels. They loaded up. They only got stronger. And they showed this offseason that they are definitely a destination team. And then on the other side, we have the Wave, who lost in the playoffs to the eventual runners-up. And they didn't really improve their roster too much from the outside. They brought in McCaskill and Elise Bennett, which is good, but obviously nothing like what Gotham did for their roster. However, they still have an incredible back line with Girma and Dal Kemper, and they still have Alex Morgan, so they're always going to be dangerous. And for this game, the only ref notes I have is Chesky. Now, onto the injury list, we still have Kristen Edmonds out with a knee, Sinead Farley with a thigh, Rose Lavelle is out with a lower leg. Abby Smith is still on season-end injury with McCall Zerboni for her knee. Taylor Smith is going to be getting surgery, and she will be out for a while. And then Lynn Williams was out for her thigh. Any thoughts on just the injuries that we've had coming into this game?
It's a pretty long list. I don't like to see that many names on that list and a lot of season-ending injuries out there. I was kind of hoping that Abby Smith was going to come back by the Challenge Cup, but it doesn't look like it's happening, at least not anytime soon. Hopefully these players get healthy as soon as possible. And again, just hate seeing so many names.
Yeah, I think with McCall and Abby Smith, as soon as they pass their return to play protocols, they'll be off the season and injury. So they will be back hopefully sooner than later.
I was just going to say, in terms of knee injuries, I feel like those are always really, really tricky in terms of timing and stuff, because ideally you are told originally after surgery, oh, this will be, in a best case scenario, 7, 8, 9 months. And then everybody's different. And like we've seen that with Kat, like, Some bodies do need 10, 11, 12 months. So I wasn't, obviously in a pessimistic way, but I wasn't surprised when I did see McCall was still on the SCI list, just because the ACL specifically is just something that you really, really want to be very careful in terms of when you officially come back to play. You don't want, God forbid, like anything to go wrong again. So I think as long as she's doing everything, following the protocol, and they're being wary, then I'm okay with her like continuing to be out a little bit longer.
Going back to Gotham's roster depth, I think obviously keep them out as long as possible, as far as until they're 100% ready to get back on the field. No rushing anything. We have plenty of players that can fill in for them until they get back. Speaking of players, let's talk about this formation. It is Cassie Miller in goal, and we have an interesting back line of Bruninha, Maitani, Davidson for the first time together, and O'Hara as the captain over Neiswanger at left back. That midfield's Ryan, Martin, and Sheehan from the championship game are back in the midfield. And then that front line of Purse, Esther, and Stengel, who I thought showed really well in the preseason tournament. Your thoughts on this lineup?
First of all, I want to ask you guys, how do you guys feel about O'Hara being the captain? I mean, no official word or anything from Gotham has come out saying that she is the captain, but she was wearing the captain's band in this game. How do you guys feel about that?
I think most likely it was a decision made off of like her experience and her professionalism and her ability to really rally, I guess, the team together. But perhaps maybe it should have gone, I guess, to like a player who has been around longer, maybe, or I'm sure that that's what like some people may have considered, but who knows, even like in the locker room and stuff, I'm sure her presence is very strong. And I assume with like this, especially like we've been talking about this roster depth, I'm sure the decision wasn't taken lightly. So I don't feel a particular way about it, but it was interesting.
She's an absolute leader. I mean, everybody knows that she is a fireball and a motivator and all that stuff. The only thing I'm concerned about is that how is she going to find a spot on the field if Nyswanger and Bernina are back to full strength? Are they going to push her into midfield? Are they going to, you know, I don't know where she's going to fit in if our two natural outside backs are back there. You know, maybe she's just going to keep rotating every game and keeping one of them off the field. I don't know. But maybe they're going to move the captain's band around this season. Who knows? But it's definitely an interesting development for sure.
Right. And going back to like Noella's point about Juan Carlos Amoros, just like bringing, like rotating the players. I like that he kept the young midfield in the starting lineup and didn't go with the national team players like right away, like we all expected. We probably expected seeing Dunn or LaBelle if she was healthy and Sonnet like in as a starting lineup. But I like to see that he's keeping this young midfield.
So 14,000 fans, that is a whole lot at Red Bull Arena. And this time, not as many Morgan jerseys that I noticed. So this was even people here to see Gotham and all their players, which is really, really good. And Cloud9, they were rolling deep. That was as deep and as full as a supporter section that we've seen in a long time. So congrats to them. They brought it. There was, I think, Tim Howard at the game, Corey Booker, the First Gentleman was there, and there was this amazing drum corps. I'm blanking on the name of the group, but they came right out and played right in front of me, right in front of my front row seats. It was amazing, and it was just incredible to watch. I posted the video on both Instagram and on Twitter, so definitely go check them out. But as far as the game is concerned, so I think for the first 15 minutes, we're pretty much all Gotham as the Wave were just sitting back. Gotham looks good in possession, and they're kind of going side to side, trying to pull open the low block of the San Diego Wave. Then there's a 15-minute stretch where Gotham just is putting total pressure on the Wave. Sheehan goes high, Esther goes high, Bernina goes high, and then it just seemed like shades of last season where they're doing everything right, but not getting the goal. And the first half feels like it's in control, but I just wanted more out of that first half. What did you all think?
I think overall, the first half, Gotham they look very good to me in this first half. Sheehan looking dangerous, but at the same time, I feel she has a really hard time finding the back of the net. And I'm rooting for her. I'm definitely rooting for her. I feel and that she has so much potential, and I see how she's been developing throughout the last season and this season, the games that they just had in Colombia and the Challenge Cup. And last season, she was a player that she preferred to pass the ball instead of going and shooting for goal. And I like that she's actually taking, like, just shooting her shots this time, this season. Next step is just for her to make that ball at the back of the net. So hopefully we get to see that. But yeah, Sheehan stood out for me in this first half.
For me, I also, my instinct is always also to look at the defensive line and see how they're set up. So I actually really enjoyed the combination of Maitán and Davidson back there. They felt very comfortable working together and very secure, I think, in their build-up play. And Bruninha, of course, I'm always a big fan of a wingback who goes up and takes their chances. And I was really hoping that she was going to start this season or start with like a goal and start like on the front pace. And in terms of Midge, as I said earlier, earlier in the episode, Midge and Esther, I really, really enjoyed their combination. Like, I think they felt very comfortable, like reading each other's plays, making runs off of each other's plays. And the play that they were able to get to Sheehan on the left side, for her to get her shot off was just, I thought, like some really brilliant like possession in the box. And actually something that I wish they would have done more of, to be honest. I think if they had been maybe a little more patient, like been a little more comfortable, like trying to possess, like just create an extra option or find an extra pass and really try and be a little more unexpected, like that one play resulted, I think maybe the game would have gone different and they might have been able to like gotten like a more higher percentage shot.
Agree with that. And yeah. I agree with you, Ruby, on Sheehan. I think the switch is starting to turn in her head where she's not always thinking about passing the ball. She did that on the first shot. She went wide. She took a little bit just too long. And the second time she put it on frame, it was right to the keeper, but it's just that switch has to be turned in her head. She's almost there. And I also agree with you, Noella. I think Midge in the first half, I think she was excellent. And I thought that the combination play between Esther and Esther and her are going to get better and better, especially when Lynn is back on the left side, taking so much heat off of her. And again, Sheehan is one of my favorite players on this team because she's just so unique and so different. She sees the game differently. It's almost like, remember how Allie Long used to be able to like wiggle out of traffic and always, you think that she's trapped and then she'll always know there's some other option to get out and find the, and change the point of attack. Sheehan does that. Mm-hmm. And over to the second half, I think this was a pretty even second half. Neither team really had a full grasp of this match. And I said this many times on the podcast, and you just can't let teams stick around, especially with Gotham Killer Morgan just hanging around. They will find a way to beat you. And Lopez goes out injured, and in comes Macy Bell. And Morgan just cleverly lost three defenders in the box by just drawing them all to the same spot and just fading back. And all three Gotham defenders looked at each other like, oh, what? I thought you had her.
Yep. Oh, my God. Yeah,
so a complete veteran move. It was picture perfect. Hats off to her. Her seventh in five games against Gotham. Just curious, your second half thoughts.
Gosh, I don't know. The day Gotham wins against the Wave, I'm going to lose my mind, but of course of happiness. Oh, God. But yeah, like you said, the hats off to Morgan for that move because, all the Gotham defense players were looking at each other like, wait, I thought you had it like the Spider-Man, just pointing at each other. But yeah, I was like, wow, like she was wide open by herself. Like she managed to like wiggle out of those defenders to make that header and make that goal. So I guess they do deserve the win, I guess. But it just took a moment, you know. It was just a moment. And that's what sucks. Just one mistake, one moment. That's what, you know, you either win a game or you lose a game.
I think second half also was a little, it felt like the pressure on the gas pedal had been kind of removed a little bit, which was upsetting. And like, again, I don't mean to like be like, oh, why was this decision made? But I kind of wish like Midge had been like allowed to like maybe play out a little bit more, like play more time. Like Jenna, love Jenna. I think offensively, like she's another outlet to provide for the team. But I just felt like Midge had such like a strong first half and I was still thinking that she was still going to be a big threat. So for me personally, I felt like that was the one player I wouldn't have removed from the field. I don't know if that would have changed anything or not. But of course, the goal is, I mean, and maybe I'm wrong, but like from personal experience, like I've always been like told, like you can concede a goal to a good team, but you can never concede a goal to a good team off a corner. Like that's like one place that you like, that's like pure like effort and concentration and focus. So it was kind of really disappointing, especially with like the timing even of it, right? Like it's 88th minute, 89th minute. Like that's when you have to like, I don't know, it be a little more like with like more of an edge and be like, okay, this is not going to happen. I'll tell you one thing though. I know all those players are like either in like corner practices or they're telling themselves for future games, we are like never conceding like another corner piece ever. Like if they don't concede the rest of the season, I'd say it's because of this game from a corner or a set piece.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think the Lopez injury definitely shifted things for Gotham. And I think Lopez was having a terrific game. She probably would have posted up on Morgan. Instead, they had, I think, Martin, Neiswanger, and Stevens on her. So
yeah,
I think it would have been a different game if Lopez had stayed in. The momentum kind of shifted the other way. What I found was interesting about the second half is obviously Dunn enters the game and the crowd just goes crazy. The local star is back and it was just so good to see her. And then the other player that got a near standing ovation when she came on was Neiswanger. And it's just good to see Neiswanger getting the flowers she deserves. And she's a fan favorite already. And just, I'm excited as the rest of the fans are. It was good to see her back on the field. So final thoughts on this game before we wrap it up. I thought it was a solid performance. I think the team, obviously 10 players that didn't join this team until after preseason. And also, this was a great battle between the two best defensive back pairings, or center back pairings in the league. I think Dalkemper and Germer are amazing, and they had a great game. And then Lopez and Davidson had an amazing game as well. I think both were very hard to break down. It was just a fun to watch game.
Just final thoughts. I say that, you know, Gotham has come a long way, and I feel like I can't complain, but every year they keep raising the bar. Every year it's higher and higher. So there's the bar is really high this year, especially because of the roster they have. So there's high expectations for this team. Hopefully they do not crack under pressure. We'll see what happens to this team during this season. But hey, the potential there, the talent's there. Now we just have to see if the mentality is there.
I think it was a good showing, like a very, very strong indicator of the pairings and the connection and the chemistry. Like, again, to just piggyback off of what you said, Gary, it's to be like 10 players who are legitimate, like starting players that can be on the field at any given moment. Yeah. For them to just be able to like hop in and be able to work so seamlessly with each other and have like strong chances on goal. Maybe the finishing touches or like the little like concentration details aren't there yet, but it's, I think they have a really, really good potential to even win the league this year, to be honest.
It was a well-coached game on both sides. I think, obviously, Stoney's main defense against Gotham was with, I mean, we don't have Lynn stretching the other side of the field. There was always another defender on Midge just trailing her because she's always going to beat the first defender, but maybe not always the second. So it slowed her down for a lot of the second half. But let's get some post-game quotes. This goes back to what we were talking about. Amaro said two of our players, which were not available today, Rose Lavelle and Lynn Williams, came back injured, which is something that I've been highlighting from the start of this year. I do not understand how we're talking about safety of the players, and we made them play in a 6-game competitive international competition without a preseason. Now the clubs and the players must pay the consequences.
Yeah, I mean, I would be annoyed too if I have two of the best players in the world, like, come back from this tournament injured. I will be a little disappointed, a little annoyed by that, because I mean, we have a great team, but at the same time, you're thinking, who's the best player to go against the San Diego Wave for the Challenge Cup? So I think it was a very important game for Gotham to win, and he didn't have Rose Lavelle and Lynn Williams to start this game and potentially even win this game.
And I think that's part of the reason why we are kind of concerned about like the summer tournament, like the summer league, because again, like these players are human, right? Like they're susceptible to these injuries and being overworked or potentially like having like too many minutes even just like on their bodies and stuff. So I hope the league pays attention and is more conscious, I think, of just certain like decisions later on in terms of like whatever it may be, like expanding more opportunities and stuff, or just being more conscious of this reality.
Yeah, I mean, we had this issue with the Challenge Cup being at the beginning of the season, whereas like they went straight into like preseason, and it was a shortened preseason because of the tournament, and they went right into games, and it just felt like there was a little bit more injuries because of that. But causation, correlation, I definitely think this was an issue playing it so close to the season, and again, you're bringing in players that are injured that had not got a preseason with the team. It's just tough. So I'm with the coach on that one. And the second quote was, "It feels really natural," Davidson said, "of playing with Maitani. We are excited to keep that relationship building and growing. We understand each other and our brains work similarly. As we keep building, we'll turn this into a very effortless relationship."
Yeah, like I've been saying, Allie Krieger's shoes are really big to fill. And now we bring Davidson in into the mix of, you know, the defense here. And I think Davidson so far is doing a great job, and it's only going to get better from here. And I love that they see, you know, that they have that relationship. They can keep building on that relationship and growing that relationship. So I know that defense is going to be in good hands with these two, with Lopez and Davidson.
And Maitan has such like strong experience, Levante, Real Sociedad, Atletico. Like she's been around like some of the best players in Spain, obviously plays for the national team. And I've also always really enjoyed like a player that has had experience playing in different positions, like playing in the back line, because it allows you to see the field so much easier. So even just like in the build up or working towards finding your outside flank players. Like, she can even play more direct if she'd like. So I think the two of them back there is like heaven sent, to be honest. Like, they're going to be great.
The thing that jumps out to me about her is how easy she gets along with everybody. It just seems like she just floated into the midfield when she first got here, and she was just comfortable there, and everyone seemed to trust her right away. Then she jumped into the back line with Ali Krieger, is one of the best ever, and she just fit right away, and it just seemed to just gel right away. And then now Ali's gone, Tierney is in, and just immediately they're just comfortable. And yeah, that speaks a lot to Lopez and how she is as a person, not only on the field but off the field. And it's a really good pairing, I think, with Lopez's, as you said, Noelle, her field vision is incredible, and she's got a great passing range. And I think Davidson was impressive. Just how physical she is really, mm-hmm. really impressive. She's aggressive, and she'll definitely put her body on you. And so it's like this, like, good cop, bad cop, a little bit like, you know, technical side, and then you got your enforcer on the other side. And I think it's a perfect pairing. That's why I was so excited. I circled her on the free agency list. I wanted her right away because I knew it would be a perfect fit. Do we have any stats of the game? I know most of the stat places slept on this game.
yeah, it was a little scarce out there. But I mean, most of the game, these stats were pretty even throughout. The only thing that stood out for me for Gotham was the yellow cards. 4 yellow cards in this game.
Yeah. Any stats, Noel?
I believe 3 corners, right? For each team. And obviously, yeah, defensively, that's not bad to concede off of one of them. The 1 of 3, again, for me personally, I'd be a little upset about it. But even offensively, I just feel like we could have, should have generated a few more opportunities, I think, at least from like set pieces.
This was a complete defensive matchup. And I'll just, my stat's just going to be 5-0. Gotham still hasn't beaten the Wave. That's depressing. And I heard Alex Morgan was talking trash today, so we got to get them back. And
who was talking trash?
Alex Morgan.
Oh, always.
Yeah, always.
But then Stoney said that if someone asked them if they were the best team, is like, yeah, we are the best team. So yeah. I wanted Gotham to win so bad.
Yeah, yeah, and have them celebrate on your turf is just no, not in my house. So let's get to the player of the match. So the first player of the match, poll of the season. It ended up being Davidson at 30%, just over Lopez at 28%, Martin at 14%, and Esther at 25%. So what do you think?
It's a tough one. But I think, oh my God, I don't know. I'm between Lopez and Davidson. I think I'm just going to give it to both. I can't choose one. They were pretty solid out there.
Yeah, still my answer. The fans were right, as always, I think. But yeah, I think the outcome, again, also if Lopez hadn't come out, Gary, yeah, you said it best, right? Like, that changes momentum. It changes like the flow of the game and stuff. So I'm leaning more towards Lopez, even though she didn't see the full 90, but that's just me.
I agree with all of that. And obviously this was a defensive masterclass for both center back pairings. But I also think Martin is underrepresented in this poll. I think, yeah, she had an amazing match. She was a tough spot to be in. I think she did well the entire time. So good for Martin, but again, it's Lopez and Davidson. Congrats to them. Okay, let's talk about the standings. Gotham is tied for last place with 0 points because we haven't played yet. So next opponent is on the road. The 2023 best road team of the regular season is back on the road against 2 top opponents in the Thorns and then the Courage next week before returning to RBA. First up, a long trip to Portland, where in the last matchup, Gotham got a late heroic goal from Stengel in a monsoon to make it to the finals. And then, as last week's guest, Neely Martin, said, this team is resilient. And when things go wrong, they get stronger. Expect to bounce back. All new players actually got some training with the club this week, so that's super exciting. And Portland is returning much of their potent attack, but have new faces across the entire back line and started Hogan in that last game. And it showed. They gave up 5 goals. They were picked apart. 3 goals within the first 35 minutes. It was a wild game. 9 goals scored on 4 expected goals. It was just craziness. Your thoughts on this matchup, Ruby?
This is crazy. But yeah, if they have a new back line, I think that will be to the advantage of Gotham. And they really need to take advantage of this young back line there. But Yeah, both teams lost their games, their, well, Challenge Cup game and their first game of the season. So I'm pretty sure the mentality here, it's to win or win. And hopefully Neely Martin is right here. Like, she's right about what she says, and Gotham will come out stronger and beat Portland. Again, we all know Portland is, it's a talented team, and they're always like have like high like talent, and they have, you know, they're known to be winners. So I think this is going to be another great match for Gotham, another match that will challenge them, and we'll see how they're going to fix the issues from the last game against San Diego.
I think also, so I'm like a nerd and I love like going back and like rewatching like past games and stuff. And so I went back to go see the Kansas City Portland game, not even just like their defensive line, because a lot of the times, especially when you're trying to combat like some of these teams that are like quick in pace and quick in transitions, if your connection between your midfield and your defense isn't synced up together, I think it was the second or the third goal that Kansas City scored where they had Moultrie, Kofi, and Fleming all kind of like grouped together in the same space, and they allowed like Kansas City to just go straight down the middle with no pressure. And of course, as a defender, it's like if you don't have your midfield in correlation, like in line, you get a lot of players that are kind of, I'm making like hands thinking that people can see what I'm doing.
We can see you.
Yeah, I know you guys. So yeah, so it's there are players that are drifting in front of the defensive line, and then, but of course, like in between the midfield as well. And so I was shocked actually to see that like Portland was like so disjointed in terms of like that space in between, which will be great, I think, for Gotham to exploit, because we have a lot of players like, and when you have wingbacks like Bruninha, Jenna, O'Hara, who are coming in from the back, like no one's expecting you. I think if we can be really quick in the transitional play, then I think we can really hopefully score also 5 goals. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the matchup of the game is going to be Davidson and Smith. If we can keep Portland on their side of the field, I think we're going to have a good game here, because obviously their back line is still new to the NWSL, and they looked out of sync with, as Noelle said, with their midfield. So I think if the field tilt goes Gotham's way, it could be good. But Sophie is always there to relieve pressure and get on the run. And Allie handled her in that game. And so Tierna has to be on guard at all times. And really, it's going to be on an island with Sophia. So it's going to be a fun matchup to watch. And if they can keep the ball away from Sophia, Gotham's going to have a really good game. And hopefully they can close the deal on some goals and get going this season. So what are we manifesting this week?
Of course, a win from Gotham. That's what I'm manifesting.
I'm going to manifest that and like a goal fest. I think they to really start that season strong and really like, I think, take advantage of the missed opportunities from last week. Maybe 3, 4, 5. I don't know.
Ooh.
I say why not?
Yeah, I want to add to that a Crystal Dunn goal.
Yes,
there you go.
Yes.
Oh, in Portland? Yeah. All right. Win some goals. And I just want some players to get back healthy. I want to see Rose Lavelle back on the field again. I want to see Lynn Williams back on the field. So hopefully they're recovered and ready to go, because we could definitely use them in this one. And just any random thoughts to close this thing out?
None for me.
I'm curious how you all handled the what's your thoughts on the media deal right now? Because it seems like we knew chaos was coming, but it seemed everybody, including NWSL coaches and media members, were all scrambling around trying to figure out how to watch these games. It was just a mess.
It is a mess. I don't know. Like, and I seen tweets and I seen people even saying like, oh, you know, I think I'm tech savvy, but I still don't know how to do this.
Yeah, that was Aaron West.
Yeah.
Laura Harvey and Sean Nahas, the coaches, were both the same situation, trying to figure out how to watch these games. It was crazy. How'd you do it, Noelle?
I had to ask a friend of a friend to borrow an account. And I was like, yeah, I need a login. Like, it's great. Again, I think it's even like when I was like little, like I couldn't see like game, like I couldn't see a woman's game. So this is like a step up. But then if you really want to talk about accessibility, then we have to have some type of like uniformed platform of like, okay, yeah, we're going to consistently have our games on such and such platform, such and such channel, whatever it may be. But making more consistency is key, as we said.
And I don't know, I would also like to see more about the games or where they're going to be on, you know, on their social media like pages. Sometimes you really have to dig to find where is it playing? Is it Prime? Is it ESPN? ION? Like, yeah, I would like to see a little more communication, not just one time or a day before the game or the day of the game, seeing like, oh, today's the game. But yeah, I'll take a little more of a heads up for the fans so they prepare accordingly.
The league made their bed. They wanted maximum visibility. They wanted to be on every platform possible, which is good. But they also have to be, as you said, Ruby, more upfront of where exactly these games are. How are you going to watch them? Because even like I was looking at FOTMOB, and FOTMOB had the wrong platforms that these games were on. I was like, okay. So they have to be just better communication from them about where these games are going to be found and how you can watch them all the time. And so every graphic has to be a big, this is on Prime. This is how you get there. They have to explain it to fans because this is tough. It is tough.
So I'm going to try to post it a little more often too, maybe twice a week, so everyone knows when the next game it's like playing. I also, even if it was at Red Bull, I also put on the graphic it was going to be on Prime TV, so people would know it was on Prime if they were not attending the game.
And speaking of which, what is this game on?
I know. I was going to go to the schedule I made earlier this year. Check it out from there. Ask me about Gotham games. I don't know about the other teams. I researched like the day of.
Game, so it is ESPN 2. So ESPN Plus, folks.
Yep. ESPN 2.
Or ESPN Deportes.
There you go.
7 p.m.
Yeah, we got to get some like family account and do it all together.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Or one of us gets one platform, the other one gets another one. We all share passwords.
There you go.
If they let you like watch it at the same time.
Oh, you're right. Right. Some people like Netflix won't.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I'm ready for this game. Are you all ready?
We're ready.
Woo.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Hi, everyone. This is Gary. Thank you for listening and supporting our project. Here are other ways you can support the show and connect with us. First, word of mouth is everything. So please share our show with anyone who might listen. Also, please rate us 5 stars on Spotify and review us on iTunes. You can purchase our merchandise at the T Public store. Join in the conversation on Twitter at OverGothamPod and Instagram at SoccerOverGotham. Lastly, you can email your thoughts and questions at soccerovergotham@gmail.com. Once again, thank you. Frankly, it's like the Highlander. There's going to be only one.